Hi, today is December 16th, 2012, and this is the Mobile Views podcast number 60. And with me today is my good friend Jay Stone. And today we're going to talk about, some mobile tech stuff. But we're going to start off with maps, because I had a recent experience where, you know, I upgraded my phone from iPhone 4 to iPhone 5. And one of the several side effects of it is that my car clip from ProClip doesn't fit, because the iPhone 5 is a different size, and I switched from a naked phone to one with a kind of a moderate cover instead. To make a long story short, I had to wait for ProClip to produce an iPhone 5 holder if I could use it again. So during the 2 months I was waiting, about 2 months I was waiting for ProClip to come out with something, I had a holder for my Windows Phone 7.5 device, which is an HTC HD7. But the problem was that Waze, which is my favorite navigation app, W-A-Z-E, is not available for Windows Phone. Now, Windows Phone does have Bing Maps and it does have Inrix, but quite frankly, Waze does one thing better than those two, and that is it gives me traffic conditions that are accurate. Bing Maps, wasn't too bad. And Inrix, I guess it just doesn't have the kind of data it needs in the Honolulu area. It always showed green, essentially. So that wasn't very useful. But ProClip did produce a new iPhone 5 holder that fits iPhone 5 of the case. I've got it, and I've got Waze back running, and I'm really happy to have it. And they updated it a couple of times during that 2 months. So it's got kind of a new look and an easier touch interface. At least it seems easier to me. I think it's bigger buttons. But as I said, Waze is a crowdsourced traffic information app. So you not only can see speed, how fast things are moving along in the traffic, green for normal, yellow for a little slow, red for really slow, and black for, gridlock. But people also provide information about, potholes and traffic accidents and all kinds of things that are going on in fairly close to real time. So you have a real good idea of what's going on around you. And in fact, what I tell people is I felt like I was driving blind without Waze for 2 months, because I just didn't know what was going on when I was in a traffic jam. I didn't know when it would let up, what the cause was, or anything like that. So it's really great to have Waze back in my car, in my life, to let me know what's going on. From a navigation point of view, I live on a little island, so there's not a lot of navigation that I need to do, but having the traffic information is really useful. Now, Jay, you said you used Waze for a while, but you use something else instead now.
Yeah, I use MotionX. Well, I had MotionX before I had Waze. You told me about Waze.
Okay.
Because, I don't know, I forget what we were talking about, and he said, oh, try Waze, it's free. And I went, oh, okay, I'll try Waze. Because the MotionX only works on my iPad, not on my phone.
Okay.
So I had bought MotionX this past year, but months ago, quite a while ago. I did a bunch of research online, then I picked that one because it seemed like that one had the best reviews of all the ones I saw and the features that I wanted. And I bought it because I had to take my daughter to the Pacific Air Museum. That's on Ford Island.
Okay, by right. Pearl Harbor, right.
Yeah, and I didn't know how to get there, so I went and bought it. Because the thing is, when I would try to find some place, I used to use maps.
Okay. Google Maps.
No, just maps.
Okay.
On my iPad.
Okay.
But it doesn't talk.
Right.
It doesn't give me turn-by-turn navigation. I have an original iPad.
Okay.
Right, so I can't upgrade to iOS 6. I'm an iOS 5 something. I forget what it is. So turn-by-turn navigation doesn't occur. I can't use that until iOS 6. If I'm going to use maps, right?
Right.
So every time I would use maps, I'd have to look while I'm driving, which is dangerous.
Right.
Oh, forget it. I'm just going to find some navigation thing that, like a GPS. And then it's cheap. Was it like under $10? $5? MotionX wasn't that expensive. I was like, wow, this is really cheap. And then you get like 30 days free voice.
Right.
Right. It tells you where to go. And then, it got me there but it didn't know how to do a roundabout. You know what a roundabout? You know what a roundabout is?
Right. Yes, I do.
Yeah. So it's basically like a big circle, right? And so it said turn left, turn right, turn left, turn right, and I got confused. So I had to look back at the map, and then I know where I'm supposed to go. So it doesn't know. It doesn't understand how to give directions in a roundabout too well, because it's like turn left, turn right, turn left, turn right, like really, really fast. So I was like, what? So eventually the 30-day free voice ran out, and we decided to just buy the annual subscription to get voice direction. So that's like $10. It was so cheap.
Hmm.
So whenever I go someplace, I don't know where it is, or if I don't want to think about it, you know, I'll just put it into my Motion X, and it tells me where to go.
And for those listening, in December 2012, Motion X is currently on sale. So the iPhone version is 99 cents, and the iPad version is currently $1.99.
Yeah, wow, I paid like $5 or something. It's really affordable.
Yes, it says it's 33% off, so it must be $2.99 regularly now. It might have dropped from when you bought it.
Yeah, because I haven't had anything bad about it. It has good search features. It can save things. The thing I liked about it, because I tried Waze for a while.
Yeah.
And people wonder, why I said earlier I can't get it on my iPhone. I can get it on my iPhone, but I got to pay another $1.
Right, correct.
It's a universal app.
Right, it's a separate iPhone and iPad versions.
So that's why I tried Waze out on my iPhone, because it was like, okay, if I can get it for free, why pay another $1?
Right.
The thing I didn't like about Waze, though, is that it didn't tell me soon enough when to turn.
Interesting.
For me, like compared to Motion X, Motion X gave me a lot more warning. Sorry. Be ready to turn. Just so many feet, you're going to turn.
So it's like having a good human companion reading a map for you and saying, okay, get ready, we're going to turn in, half a mile or something.
Yeah, and it's amazingly accurate. It would tell me when to turn, but it would tell me too close to when I had to turn.
I see.
Which is okay if you can react.
Now you're saying that the Motion X, you have to pay an annual fee for voice?
For turn direction with voice. So when you buy it, when I bought it, it had 30 days free turn-by-turn voice, right?
Okay.
You can buy once a month. So people at the company we used to work at,
mm-hmm.
Some of them would tell me, you can buy it. But then they tried others. But a lot of them are like that, the GPS apps on the phone and the iPad. A lot of them have an option. Don't have to buy the turn-by-turn navigation for the whole year.
Hmm.
You can buy it, I think Motion X gives you, you can buy it for a month.
Hmm. That's interesting. Cause, I don't see, I'm looking, I'm actually not in iTunes at the moment. Maybe I should open iTunes up. But I'm looking at the iTunes preview on the webpage, and it doesn't say anything about a month-to-month fee for voice navigation, but it might be on the iTunes web page.
So it's an in-app purchase in Motion X.
Huh.
And because you don't need turn-by-turn navigation all the time.
True.
Right? So if you're not traveling and you're in places you're pretty familiar with, you could use it just like a map to figure out where to go. And then, or if you have people with you in the car, they tell you, you're going to turn here or there. And but for us, we're like, that's only $10. All I have to do is use it 5 times.
Right. So that's for the whole year, right?
Whole year, unlimited turn-by-turn.
Uh-huh. Now, does it give you traffic conditions in addition to navigation, or is it purely a navigation tool?
I estimated time of arrival. So I don't know.
Even under varying traffic conditions and so forth. Now, I'm kind of looking at some of the customer reviews. Let's see. It's got a 3.5 rating out of 1638 for all versions, and also 3.5 out of 5-star rating for its most current release, which I guess is pretty new. It looks like it was updated November 29th, so just a couple of weeks ago. I see some people complaining about not having Bing, downloading Bing Maps. What's the deal with that?
Downloading Bing Maps.
You never did that? Okay, I'm looking up Motion X on the regular iTunes now. So is this different? Is Motion X, is it GPS Drive Motion X or GPS HD Motion X?
I have the HD version.
GPS HD, not Drive.
Sure. About the iPad version.
Okay.
Because when you buy on the iPad, right, it gives you the iPad version first.
Okay.
When you're in the App Store.
Right.
Doesn't give you iPhone versions, or it always gives you the more expensive version.
Well, no, there are two. There are two Motion X HDs. One is, I think, anyway, or is this the same one? Oh, you must have Drive actually, because Motion X HD, no Drive in the name, doesn't have any in-app purchase.
Oh, maybe.
Yeah, and it's 99 cents right now, and that one has 4.5-star rating.
I use it like. You know, because I wanted to go buy my wife a GPS.
Right.
Garmin or a TomTom or something.
Right.
It was like when I found that app on iTunes, I was like $100-something, $5. I'm going to buy $5.
Right.
And I have unlimited data on my iPad, so I don't really care. I can use it all the time. It does drain your battery, though.
Yeah.
It drains your battery. But I have a car charger, so I usually just plug it into my car charger if I'm really low.
Sure. And I always plug my phone into the car when I'm running around, because I use a GPS, you know, so much, because I use Waze so much to tell me what traffic conditions. So I should note to people, there are a couple of versions of apps or different apps that Motion X has, and the one Jay is talking about is called Motion X GPS Drive, and it's 99 cents. This one looks like it is universal, which is kind of interesting.
I don't think so. Let me open up my iTunes.
Yeah.
That's the only thing. iTunes is so different now.
It is. It looks very different. I had to go turn on the folder on the left side, because that's really how I navigate.
Yeah, I'm trying to get used to the new interface. I like the new interface, but it takes a while getting used to
it. It is different. And I see that Motion X GPS Drive also have different voices you can buy for 99 cents each.
Yes, you can buy different voices. I just got the default voice.
Yeah. What's this external display package for $24.99? Do you know what that is?
No, I don't need it. I have an iPad.
I wonder what it is, though. But it's an in-app purchase, whatever it is.
A Motion X GPS Drive.
Okay.
So all I ever bought for it was the... I just paid for the annual fee for the turn-by-turn navigation. Because it's a deal.
Yeah, it's $9.99, 1 year live voice guidance.
Yeah.
Or $2.99 a month. So, yeah, it's much better to buy it a year at a time.
So we looked at all we got to do is use it, what, 4 times, and we already made our money back. You know, it's $10. They make it so cheap.
Right.
I mean, when I researched it, it didn't seem like anyone was really satisfied with any GPS product, GPS app on an iPhone or iPad.
Right.
But it seemed like it was the best. And I haven't been disappointed.
Right. And I should note that while the Motion X GPS HD for the iPad had 3.5 stars. Motion X GPS Drive that we're talking about right now has 4.5 out of 5 stars. So it's very, very highly regarded app, and it is 99 cents.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't know if it doesn't say special or anything. So I don't know if they lowered the price, or it doesn't say, you know, special or anything like that.
Yeah. So I mean, I don't use the maps that much anymore once I got the GPS, because I only needed to use it when I wanted to drive.
Right.
And the only couple of times I used, I don't have a need.
Yeah, you know, and it turns out, if I recall correctly, that the maps prior to iOS 6 was actually Google Maps. And it did not have turn-by-turn. And a lot of people, it was because Apple was telling Google they couldn't, but apparently Google didn't want to provide turn-by-turn, if I remember correctly. So, you know, some kind of...
Yeah, that's my understanding when I read the articles about
Google
Maps.
But that said, the newly released Google Maps, I think this just a few days ago, for iOS 6 does provide turn-by-turn directions. Although I haven't tried it, to be honest.
Yeah, I haven't bothered to download it because I...
Yeah, and then
I've never used it, but my daughter used to have an Android phone.
Mm-hmm.
And we used it a couple times. And she hated it always using it.
Really? Because
even though it turned by turn navigation and it was Google Maps, she hated using it. And you want to know why? It drained her battery so fast.
Oh, yeah, you got to keep it plugged in when you do that. Absolutely. So it wasn't the app itself, but the fact that the GPS is a battery drainer. Right.
But I think it's more than that. I blame it on... Okay. GPS drive drains my battery. Right? I don't really have to... I don't... I'm like 25%.
Okay.
I mean, if I'm, you know, at least quarter.
Right.
On my daughter's Android phone, granted it was an older version, it drained it so fast. It was insane.
Right, and but that said, you know, I think it's I can't say all Android phones, but certainly the early models that I tried up until and including the Nexus 1, you know, and I started with a Motorola Droid that kind of, you know, relaunched the whole Google Android thing back in, when was it, 2010, I guess, or 2009, and the Nexus 1, and I've had some loners, and none of them. Until recently, like the HTC One X, you know, until the recent phones in the last 6 or 12 months, all of them were not very good in the battery department. Certainly not close to the kind of battery life we see on the iPhone. So, you know, really, what we're talking about is not so much the app itself, but some of the issues with Android, at least on the older devices, and to some extent, you know, even some of the more recent ones. But the 2012 devices seem pretty decent in terms of battery life, at least the ones I've tried.
It's like a Motorola. Isn't there a Motorola that claims like 32 hours?
Oh, I don't know. I haven't heard about that one.
Oh, because I just read about it online. I think it's Motorola. There's some Motorola phone that has this unbelievable battery life. It's like insane. It's really long.
Yeah, it's probably really big too.
Battery.
Yeah, and you know, you can buy, you know, battery packs and extended batteries, at least for the Android phones that have removable batteries. Although, you know, there's that move with the thin move in phones. Even Androids are losing the ability to have user replaceable batteries now.
Mm.
They're becoming like iPhones in the name of thinness.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
it's so thin. It's like three pieces of paper stapled together.
Exactly. Okay. Well, moving on from maps, then I know Jay, you wanted to talk a bit about Flipboard. And I used to be a heavy Flipboard user, but I used to use it daily. And over the last maybe year or so, I really haven't been using it much. So why do you use it a lot?
Oh, I use it every day. I use it multiple times a day because I don't. Well, my iPad's my primary computing device.
Okay.
And I don't have television.
Okay.
I cut cable. I mean, I have a television set. I don't subscribe to cable, so I only have an Apple TV box, and I subscribe to Netflix, and I get all my news through my iPad, essentially.
Oh, okay.
What I did is when Flipboard first came out, I read about it, downloaded it, I fell in love with it because it puts my Facebook, my Twitter, my LinkedIn. I don't know if it has any other of the social networks. And then it has, you know, CNN, ABC News. And then the thing I like about Flipboard is it has like FlipTech. So FlipTech will pull articles from GigaOm, Engadget, TechCrunch, ReadWrite, Web, Wired, from all these different sources instead of just from individual sources. You can also can also have like just a channel just for wired. So it's like you open up Flipboard, it's a bunch of tiles. You click a tile and then it opens up the articles or the postings like on your in Facebook as like a magazine.
So are you using the way you use it anyway, are you mostly using the channels provided by Flipboard, like that FlipTech you're mentioning? Or are you mostly using your social network feeds sources, or is it kind of a half and half deal?
It's kind of half and half both. So I use Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, FlipTech, ABC News, and CNN. They're my primary ones. And then when I get done reading all that stuff, then I go move on to like Flip Business, film, or like NPR. And then the greatest, the best thing in the last year, I don't know how long ago, they added video support for certain channels or certain tiles. So they have the Colbert Report on. You can get it on Flipboard. And so you can see like clips from Colbert Report. You can see the one I like is Epic Rap Battles of History. Have you seen that?
No, I haven't.
Some of them are a little, they're a little raunchy. They swear.
Okay.
Basically, there's actors, and they have epic rap battles of history, so you have, like, Hitler versus Darth Vader.
Okay.
You do it as a rap, right? And they have, like, Gates for Steve Jobs. I mean, they're actors, but I find they're pretty clever apps, or pretty clever raps, and they have like Funny or Die and things like that. So I use it for entertainment and primarily for news. Though I read a lot, so I read a lot of ABC News, CNN, and I read a lot of FlipTech, Flip Business, that kind of stuff. So like a lot of the postings that people on my Facebook are directly from Flipboard.
Now, okay. In fact, I was going to ask you if you use that to interact at all. Because can you, for example, reply to someone's, tweeted news item or anything like that?
Yes. So, I've never done it here, but if you're in like FlipTech and you're reading an article, press something and it'll pop up. You can make a comment to whoever you want. And if you've linked your social network before, you can share that link and your comments to your social network. So I don't use Facebook app or Twitter app or LinkedIn app. I use Flipboard. So one of my friends on Facebook posts something,
right,
through Flipboard.
Now, do you see when somebody, say you post something to Twitter or to Facebook and somebody replies to you, retweets it, or in Facebook comments on it, can you see any indications of that in Flipboard itself, or do you have to go to the Twitter or Facebook app to see those things?
I just see what people post.
Okay.
Okay. But I have the Facebook app and the Twitter app and the LinkedIn app. So whenever someone comments or likes or retweets or something, I get a notice.
Oh, okay.
Right, and I don't actually. All I do is look at it in notification center.
Okay,
and that's all. If I want to, I'll press it, and then I'll go look at what they were doing. Otherwise, I don't really use the apps.
Got it.
Because I just wait for the notification.
Right.
It's only when you can't follow. Like in the Facebook app, right? If you were to post something, Todd, because we're friends on Facebook, I'll get a notification that you posted something.
Right.
As long as it's linked to my board or something, right?
Right.
So, in those cases, I think probably once a week or something, I'll actually go into the Facebook app. But most of the time, I don't. And usually it's once a week.
Interesting.
Twitter app.
Interesting.
Because all I do is I use Twitter just to get to post, but I use Twitter to just get people I follow, organizations I follow, and to read.
Yeah. So, you know, really, when Flipboard first came out, and I think it was like maybe within a month or two of the original iPad, its real focus was on allowing you a better way to see what people were, links people were tweeting and links and photos of what people were pasting on Facebook. And over time, it's become more of the focus news channels. And as you mentioned, video, which I haven't really looked at because I haven't, like I mentioned, I haven't really been using Flipboard all that much in the last year, I would say. So it's really changed the way it presents itself to the user now.
That's amazing. To me, it is my number one used app besides Mail.
Wow, that's something.
I use Mail for work.
All right. And you know, earlier you mentioned that you use Flipboard so much because not only because you're a cable cutter, but also because your iPad is your primary computer. In fact, before we started, you mentioned I guess we were both saying, how different Evernote looks on our Macs right now, and you said it's because you hardly ever turn on your iMac anymore.
Yeah. I'm like, let's put it this way. If I thought that we could record this better on my iPad, I would just use my iPad.
You actually could do it, I mean, Skype, you can Skype in from your iPad to the, I need to use the iMac because I have to record it on my Mac. Yeah. But you could use anything to dial in.
Yeah, but I think when we first started, I thought we were talking about it, and we thought it'd be better to use the computer.
Yeah,
that the sound would record better.
Yeah, that's true. I think we were having some issues, and I should note I'm on Wi-Fi too, so I get some Wi-Fi drops every now and then. But yeah, the built-in microphone on the iMac is better, in my opinion, anyway, than the iPad, and I use a USB microphone, so, and I think you're using a headset, we should try it again someday. Maybe next week we should, or whenever we have time, we should try it. Now, it's interesting you say that because, we're one of the things where a lot of people have been talking about, the whole post-PC world thing, and you're kind of an embodiment of that, where you say, your iPad is your primary computer now, and your iMac is something you turn on when you have to.
Because most everything I need to. I mean, like, what was it? I have Pages, right? I have Pages, Keynote, which are more than once. We've been out, and then we wanted to do a birthday invitation for my daughters.
Right.
I did it for my older daughter, for my younger daughter. Because there's a template for an invitation in Pages, and then I happened to have a photo on my iPad that I could use. And so I brought it in, cropped it, did all the text, showed it to my wife, and then we said, we went and printed it when we got back home.
Nice.
That's the only thing. I don't have a printing capability from my iPad at home. I have it at work.
Right. And in fact, that was, until recently, the same was true for me. My one of my printers at home broke a few months ago, basically stopped working a few months ago. And so I had to replace it with a modern printer. My old printer is about 6 or 7 years old. So I got a HP inkjet printer that has ePrint. And I have to say, it's pretty remarkable to be able to, reasonably easily print from an iPad or an iPhone or, well, really anything. Actually, the easiest one to set up was the Microsoft Surface tablet running Windows RT. That was the absolute easiest to set up for remote printing on over the network.
Yeah, but I've had the iPhone since it first came out.
Mm-hmm. iPad, yeah.
iPad, I got it. I got the Wi-Fi plus 3G, and I have found by going in that direction and not having the capability of printing, I found ways not to print. Sure, I don't print. I email or I put it on Dropbox.
Right. And by it, you mean you like do a screenshot of a receipt or something, that sort of thing?
I'm reading a document or an email or something. So I don't print it and give it to someone. I would email it to someone.
I see what you're saying.
Or I'll post it to my Dropbox and say, go to my Dropbox and pull it.
Right.
So I found ways to not have to print because I don't have the printing capability. See, even with that invitation, Eventually, she printed it. But if we had the emails, I told my wife, because I sent it to, I think we sent it to my family members, you know, my brother, my sisters, and my parents.
Right.
So for the invitation, so I said, if we have the email, just email it.
Huh.
So that's what I just, because you can save it as a PDF in Pages, right?
Right.
Or Word or Pages file format. So all I did was email it as a PDF. Right. To my family.
And, you know, although I have not gone paper-free myself, I have been trying to do things like scan, you know, papers I receive and store it in tools like Evernote, mostly Evernote, I would say. And that's been working out great for me. It's much easier to find things now, you know. I still have paper. I'm not saying I don't have paper, but I think I have far less than I used to.
Yeah, me too. I still have paper, but... I think also too at our former firm, years ago they went in a direction to try and go paperless. So I got into a habit at work through other things I have to do. I don't even like getting receipts anymore. I mean, if I'm at a place where they'll email me their receipts, I just email it to me.
Yeah, yeah, like Apple Store does.
Right, and you can do that at Sears.
I didn't know that.
You can do it at Kmart.
Huh.
They have these shopping loyalty cards.
Right.
They call it Shop Your Way Rewards Program. And so when I'm at Kmart, they'll give me a printed receipt, but so just email it to me.
Nice.
You know, but I prefer that than to have a receipt.
Nice.
Because I'm going to throw away anyway.
Yeah.
Unless I need it to return. And if I need to return it, I just have my iPad and here's my receipt.
Yeah. Well, you know, I have to say that as much as I use mobile devices, my primary PC is still my PC. And in fact, I'm shopping around trying to find a good deal on a good Windows 8 notebook with a touch display.
On Flipboard, I read a recent article that new Dell. It's a Dell Ultrabook.
Yeah? Does it have a touch screen?
I don't remember. I just get it. So it was an article, MacBook, okay, but hey, check this out, this HP Windows 8. Ultrabook.
Hmm.
It sounded pretty good.
So you said it's Dell or HP? I'm sorry.
Ah, shoot. No, I don't remember.
Okay. The one I've been kind of keeping my eye on price-wise is from Asus. They have a line called the Vivo Book, and there's like a 14.1-inch display that looks pretty nice. I haven't seen it in person. That's the only, you know, thing that worries me, because I have seen the Acer Windows 8 touchscreen display, and... its price is pretty good. I think it's like $750 or something. But the contrast is so low. And I played with it. You know, I tried to adjust the brightness and contrast. But the contrast is so low, I just wasn't comfortable with it. So I'm waiting around to find something that's both affordable and with a decent, you know, or a screen that, you know, I think is decent anyway. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, shoot it over to me. I'll take a look at Dell's website myself. And finally tonight, I wanted to mention that, you know, one of my favorite new games is kind of a offshoot of an old favorite, is Angry Birds Star Wars HD for the iPad. And the reason I want to mention it is not only is it my favorite game, now I feel kind of cheated because it's on sale. It's 99 cents for the HD version. I think I paid $2.99 for it. So if you haven't got Angry Birds Star Wars HD for the iPad, now is the time to get it. iTunes says Rovio HD titles are on sale for a limited time, so it's 99 cents each, and it's a great game. I think Angry Birds Star Wars is my I know. It's my favorite version since the original Angry Birds, and in some ways it's better than the original Angry Birds.
To me, it's Angry Birds Star Wars is the best version of Angry Birds yet.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to disagree on this. it is a lot of fun.
Birds have? It's just no way.
You know, the only thing I'm kind of annoyed at is that there is a level. I can't remember what the name of the level is. But you have to either wait for it or you got to pay extra to unlock it. Oh, no, I'm sorry. I retract that. You have to either pay to unlock it or you got to get 3 stars on every level to get unlock it for free.
It's okay. I already paid for the app. And I also paid for the iPhone version for everyone else in my family.
Oh, my.
Because we all have to have Angry Birds. We saw that, and then Luke Bird with his lightsaber.
Yes.
You can deflect laser blast.
Yes.
And then you have Leia. Are you up to the...
Yes, the little pink bird, yep.
She has her beam power.
Right.
And she can pull a whole AT-AT down with that.
Yeah. And the Obi-Wan Kenobi can also deflect laser beams.
It's force power.
Yeah.
I was like, it's just... And they took the best part of Star Wars, and then what they did is they took the best part of Angry Birds Space.
Yes. And I gotta say, I did not like Angry Birds Space as much as the original Angry Birds. I'm not sure why, but... I'm glad that, you know, it's a hybrid in Angry Birds Star Wars.
Well, I like both, but I had Angry Birds Star Wars first.
Oh, really?
And I went back and got Angry Birds Space.
Oh, interesting.
And so by doing Angry Birds Star Wars first, I really like Angry Birds Space.
Interesting.
Because I like the whole gravity effect.
Right.
Really like that. I stayed away from Angry Birds Space and say, oh, man, it costs so much money on my iPad, I'm not going to buy it. You know, and I heard, right? But then when Star Wars came out, I had to get it because I'm a big Star Wars fan. And then I loved it. I went, I'm going to try Angry Birds Space. And yep. I love it now because it has a lot of the things that are similar to Angry Birds Star Wars, except the Star Wars box.
Right. And again, for folks listening to the podcast, if we are still in mid-December 2012, our Angry Birds Star Wars HD, in fact, all the Angry Birds HD apps are on sale for 99 cents right now. So quite a deal.
You should get it. Everyone should.
It's a very addictive game.
On any platform, it'll just be fun.
And, you know, if you've got an Android, it's free.
Go get it. Especially if it's free.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a lot of fun. Well, there's ads, I think, on Android. I think I've played it in an Android version on a tablet. Oh, well, that's the other thing. You know, actually, let me retract that. So I can't figure this out. So Angry Birds Star Wars, no HD, is free for Android. Angry Birds Star Wars HD is, you know, like $2. But, and I didn't buy the HD version for my tablet, but the regular, you know, non-HD version looks fine on my Nexus 7, so I'm not sure there's any need to... I mean, it looks as good as it does on my iPad, for example. So I'm not sure there's any need to pay money for it if you have an Android device.
Yeah. I mean, my original Angry Birds on my iPad is not Angry Birds HD. It's Angry Birds for the iPhone.
Oh, okay. So it's a little bit pixelated. That one you can tell.
Yeah, that one's a little pixelated, so that's okay. But then... That was when I first got my iPad, and I was trying to save more money. And then, as more HD type apps came out, you know, specific for the iPad,
right?
I'm going to pay the extra money and get the better, something that looks a little better,
right?
Yeah. Oh, I wanted to say something because I got this email from Comixology.
Okay.
You know, it's on Windows 8.
Yes, and it's terrible. I'm sorry to say. Maybe we should talk about that. We should have a combined Mobile Views, Comics Views podcast because, in fact, I was just taking a look at Comixology on Windows 8, at least my Microsoft Surface tablet, which runs Windows RT again. And, you know, it's really odd because, you know, if you have a lot of comics in your library, you know, not necessarily downloaded, but in your library, it seems to show a random selection of 10. And I can't see my entire library.
Yeah, that's a bug.
Yeah. Kindle Fire. I'm sorry, say that again?
Kindle Fire.
Oh, Kindle Fire.
Yeah, so this is... Marvel Mondays is tomorrow, right?
Yes.
I just got my Comixology email. Oh, Marvel Mondays, 99 cents. So there's one for the iPad or iOS. There's Google Play, Kindle Fire, and Windows 8.
Yeah. Yeah, and Android.
Yeah, it has Google Play.
Yep. Yeah, you know, it's interesting. The apps for the Windows, for Windows RT, and by that I mean the apps that, you know, are familiar to people on other mobile platforms, for some reason, some of them are not up to snuff. So, for example, Evernote for Windows RT is not as good as the Android and iOS versions. Same thing for Comixology app. One that is very, it's pretty good on Windows 8 or Windows RT is the Netflix app, which is pretty good, I think. I think, you know, it's very usable and it looks pretty good. And, you know, I use it a lot on my Surface. But the Comixology app, a little bit disappointing on the Surface. And, of course, it works great on iPad and works pretty good on Android as well. Okay, well, I'm going to wrap it up then. This has been the Mobile Views Podcast, although it started to sound like our Comics Views Podcast at the end. It's Mobile Views Podcast number 60. This is Todd Ogasawara, my friend Jay Stone. We will talk to you later.